The Arab Spring has shaken the foundations of regimes from Egypt to Libya, but could its ripples affect little Swaziland? Swaziland is one of the smallest countries in Africa. It lies between South Africa and Mozambique. It's also the continent's last remaining absolute monarchy. King Maswati III rules with few constraints. But as the world's Alex Gallivant reports, he also presides over a people growing in anger.
Swaziland is a small country with big challenges. A crumbling economy, a devastating HIV/AIDS epidemic, and one of the lowest life expectancy rates in the world. A few years ago, King Maswati agreed to be interviewed for an American documentary called Without the King. He made this argument.
We can only succeed if we're all of us together. But if that one pulls that direction and that one pulls that direction, the problems will overcome us instead of us overcoming the problems.
Today, that ideal of the Swazi nation pulling together rings hollow for people like Sizwe, a youth leader in the country's largest city. He lays the blame for Swaziland's troubles squarely at the feet of the king.
Of late, I really hate him. I'm sorry to say, but to me, he's as good as dead.
King Maswati III is 43 years old. He inherited the crown from his father in 1986, along with a fortune that's estimated now to stand at around $100 million. He's taken 14 wives, and, say his critics, he enjoys a lifestyle of palaces and plenty. In contrast, most of his subjects live on less than $2 a day. Some have taken to the streets in protest.
We are shaking the tree such that the dangerous baboon is about to fall.
Swaziland's constitution provides for freedom of expression, but in practice, political parties are banned, and authorities have often met gatherings like that one with violence. Still, the protests continue. In recent weeks, trade union members, students, and even lawyers have gathered in their hundreds to vent their frustrations. But King Maswati is in no immediate danger of being overthrown by his people, partly because he commands a powerful security force, but that's not the only reason. Many, like 21-year-old Zama Simelane, believe he's not to blame.
It's the people that are close to him that are actually making these huge decisions. It's just the way the government is being run.
Of course, the way the government is being run is the king's way. But there's another reason why Maswati remains strong, despite his critics.
It is a struggle by the people within people.
This is Mario Masugu. He leads one of the banned political parties, the People's United Democratic Movement.
There is no racial concerns. There is no ethnic concerns. It is just a people within themselves.
His point is that all Swazis share a common heritage, including a common tribal link with their king. Maswati isn't a colonizer, or even an exotic strongman like Muammar Gaddafi. But for Masugu, he's not above reproach either.
There's been a tautology that he is the center and doyen of culture. But our culture in Swaziland has been politicized.
For example, he says, King Maswati has taken to appointing tribal chiefs instead of allowing titles to be handed down through birth, and that's shored up his position. But most Swazis aren't following that kind of thing. They just want their voices to be heard, and freely. Not an easy thing to achieve, says Hleli Lulanga. She directs the Swaziland Young Women's Network.
When we go to their communities to empower people, we need to answer to the police. They want to know what our agenda is all about.
And talking about politics directly isn't possible.
That's a no-go zone. You are not allowed to.
Then again, maybe change is just a matter of time. It came to Swaziland's neighbours, South Africa, Malawi and Mozambique. Recently, it's come to some North African countries too. But the youth activist, Sizwe, he says democracy in Swaziland needs help, even if it's only the oxygen of attention.
We are not getting the attention that the other countries are getting solely because we don't have anything in hand. If you look at Libya, you look at Tunisia, you look at almost all those northern countries, they are rich in oil, they do have minerals. So when you bring up the Swazi case, what does Swaziland have? What if I try to help Swaziland? What will I get in return?
For neighbouring South Africa, at least, there would be something in return. Stability across its border. Recently, the South African government offered Swaziland a financial lifeline in exchange for a set of reforms, some fiscal, others political. Those political reforms would amount to baby steps only. Regardless, King Maswati has so far chosen to reject the offer. For The World, I'm Alex Gallivant, Swaziland.
Alex traveled to Swaziland with the assistance of the International Reporting Project.